This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon, all. I want to start the show this afternoon with a big congratulations to all our listeners, the many people who shared their support, of course, Greg Smith, the Canadian Cancer Society, for helping to raise over $255,000 and counting for Daffodil Place. That more than doubles their initial fundraising goal and far surpasses last year's total, all the while during a pandemic. Just extraordinary. And thank you, one and all, for your support. Well, we all know about the health effects of smoking. It's the leading cause of lung cancer. But the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers involves a hazard that many are not even aware of. This is Radon Action Month across Canada. Back in late September, the English School District released information showing that several dozen schools in this province have radon levels requiring remediation, some immediately and some can wait for a little bit longer. That's subsequently prompted Health Canada to reach out to households in areas where schools require remediation, suggesting that homeowners consider testing their homes for radon. My guest today on Target is Pam Workington. She's the executive director of the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists, and we've reached her in Winnipeg. Hello.
Hi, Linda.
I guess I should say good morning to you. It's still morning in Winnipeg, of course.
Yeah, it is. In a snowy Winnipeg.
Oh, of course. So I guess I'll start with the basics. What is radon?
Radon is a gas, like as you said, linked to lung cancer. It comes from the soil and it's radioactive, and so we can't see it, we can't smell it or taste it, but it's those radioactive properties that makes it a health risk that leads to lung cancer, and also gives us the opportunity that we can test for it.
So what causes this to come out of the ground?
So it's a decay product of uranium. So uranium is a solid, and eventually it decays into radium and then radon. And it's a solid up until radon, and when it decays into radon, now it's a gas. So it filters out of the air. It's in our air around us, in the outside air. But because our homes have contact with the ground, because the homes are, or our buildings are low pressure inside, it tends to draw the air in, and then it doesn't allow it to escape. And we're finding even now as we're getting more and more airtight that more of it is coming in and less of it is going out. So we're seeing levels build up over time.
Where is it normally found?
Well, it seems to be found all over the country. So we have done surveys across the country to try and get some snapshots of where it's higher in prevalence. So we certainly do know that it's more, it's found in more homes in some regions, but it is found in, 95% of the regions tested had at least one home level. So it's all over our country.
And is there any type of construction that's more prone to the buildup of radon than others? You mentioned, the fact that our homes tend to be a little more airtight, the newer they are, I suppose. Does the risk factor increase if you have a basement, for instance, or if you have one of these R2000 type homes?
Yeah. Well, so it's in any building that does have contact with the ground, and we have been trying to do some research, and I think this has been happening as various groups over the years as they've been learning about radon to try and figure out what features in a home might increase levels or what building components of a house might increase levels. And so we do have some data that we've been collecting, but really the overall message is that it's possible to be in any building. And so any, every building, like you mentioned, schools, workplaces, homes, really should be tested because we have no other way to know if it's in that building other than to test. Even if there's only one building in the community and none of the other buildings, we can't pick out which one building is going to have it. So we really need everybody to test in order to know where it is.
And this is leaching out everywhere. It's less of a concern in the outdoors than it is in a confined or enclosed space.
Yeah, so radioactive radioactivity tends to increase its health risk with the exposure level. So the amount of radon that we're exposed to increases the health risk. So in our outdoor air, it's at low levels, and so it is not a concern, but it's being exposed to increased levels. So higher levels means that there's a greater risk. And then also being exposed over a longer time increases our risk. So it's not a risk like carbon monoxide, for instance, where it's an immediate thing. This is an exposure over a duration of time that if you're breathing it in, that it eventually will lead to initiation of lung cancer.
Any particular parts of the country? You say it's everywhere, but any particular parts of the country where you see spikes, so to speak, where it's more of a concern than others?
Certainly. So in the Cross Canada survey that Health Canada did in 2010 and 2011, they found some provinces in general were higher. And so they, you know, provided us with an average by province, and New Brunswick certainly is our leading province. So the percentage of homes that were tested in New Brunswick was the highest in the country. Second was Manitoba, and then also we've identified Saskatchewan and the Yukon as concerns. And then further to that, they broke it down by health region. So even within the province, we've been able to look into health regions and take a look at, you know, which health regions were higher than others.
Are you more likely to find it in loose or disturbed soil or rock or areas that have been disturbed in some way?
Yeah, so just like building characteristics, we've been, you know, trying to research that, and there is logic to sort of suggest that, okay, there is, you know, more potential here, and there are radon potential maps available that provide us with sort of some input to say, yep, it's more likely to be in these areas. But when we actually go into a community and test, like I mentioned, we're still finding it in homes in various rocks. So whether it's clay soil or loose or sand or karst, we still are finding homes with elevated levels in all soil types.
Newfoundland and Labrador, of course, known for its rock.
Yep.
My home itself is on a big old slab of rock. Are you more likely to find it on that solid rock surface, or are you more likely to find it in areas that you've had to dig or in farmland, for instance?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's the potential that it could be in buildings in both, in all different rock types. So we do know that in Newfoundland and Labrador, from that cross-country survey, Region 3, or Health Region 3, in the area where Corner Brook is, we saw more homes were higher, but we saw homes elevated in all health regions in Newfoundland and Labrador.
My guest today on Target is Pam Workington. She's the executive director of the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. We're talking about radon. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Today is the executive director of the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists, Pam Workington. We're talking about radon. This is Radon Action Month right across Canada. And Pam, are we learning more about radon and its risks?
We certainly are. We have known about it, or they have known about it for quite a few years, and through the 1980s and 90s, they did quite a bit of research in Canada, but in the mid-2000s, we saw a summary of the research rolled up and were able to learn that it is a greater health risk in homes at lower levels. Originally, we knew the health risk was in mines and at elevated levels. So since then, we've been more focused on researching it for homeowners and recognizing the issue at lower levels. And so we are starting to see more research coming out on it and learning about, you know, both the health aspect as well as, you know, where we're finding it and who's more likely at risk.
Well, people have been living in Canada for millennia, and we're, as you said, our understanding of radon and its risks has gotten more. We know more about it now than we did before. But my question is this: the accumulation of radon in homes, is it because of changes or differences in the way that we construct our homes and businesses?
Well, it certainly does have an impact on it. So the research that was done in the 80s and 90s found homes with elevated levels. So, you know, it's not a new problem, so to speak. Certainly, if you go back to as building techniques have improved and air tightness has improved, we are starting to see levels increased. Another thing is that we have seen building code changes, so there has been some building code measures introduced to try and provide opportunities to control it and then to improve our prevention of it. So we do know that there's an easy way to fix it. Unfortunately, you know, some of the building codes are assisting with that as well.
When is it a concern?
So Health Canada's guideline is at 200 becquerels. So ideally, they would like everyone to test their buildings and reduce their radon levels if they're above 200. Now, because it's a linear risk and it increases with amount, it's not that, you know, 190 is safe and 200 is dangerous. It does go up. So, you know, ideally they would like everybody below 200, but, you know, being under 100 would be even better. And so it's that provides some guidelines for people to, when they measure, to know, you know, how to read their report and what types of actions they need to take once they understand their level.
What is the risk?
It's linked to lung cancer. So we know that smoking is our number one cause of lung cancer in Canada, but for non-smokers, exposure to radon is the number one cause, and it also contributes, so it's synergistic, or it's additive to the risk for smokers as well. So we also encourage smokers to test for radon and reduce their risk.
What kind of exposure is required for adverse health effects?
Right. So that is as research is emerging, but really anybody that's exposed, certainly over 200 becquerels, over a duration of time, is at risk for health, for lung cancer. There is a risk still above 100 becquerels.
So if your home is airtight, this is accumulating in your home is not breathing properly, so to speak, how can we remediate against that? Is it wise just to flick open your windows every now and again?
Well, that would help a little bit, but unfortunately that's not always practical for us in Canada. There is concrete research that we've done on methods to reduce it. So that's the good news, is that we have a radon mitigation technique that involves putting in a venting system. And so we have research to show that it is effective and that it reduces levels even from really high levels down to low levels. And what the system does is it provides a pathway. So a pipe goes into your foundation, either through your concrete slab or through a membrane if you've got a crawl space. And the pipe then goes from beneath your home and extends all the way outside your home. So it could go up through the roof or it could go out through the side of the house. And then there also is a fan put on it. So the fan is intended to just provide enough air so that instead of the air coming up into our home, it comes through this pathway and it gets released outside, so prevents it from coming inside. And so the key to it is to make sure that it's properly installed. We want to make sure that you know, the foundation space is well sealed, that it's put in the right location to draw the air from, you know, the whole footprint of your house or your building. And then also that the fan size is proper. So we want to make sure that it's not too large a fan, that it's just a large enough fan to move that air outside the house without really, we want it to be efficient. So we don't want to have a too large a fan on it.
You mentioned efficiency, and, you know, I don't know if you're aware of the situation here in Newfoundland and Labrador, but we have this looming Muskrat Falls project that we're going to soon have to start paying back. And a lot of people are talking about energy efficiency these days. Can you do this kind of venting system without losing heat and or energy?
So when it's properly installed, it really minimizes it, and that's the key, is that it will, you know, it adds one fan to your house, so your electric load, which if it's properly installed really should be the lowest fan possible and really a minimal amount of energy use. And then when it's installed, it should be installed in a way that your foundation is sealed so that it doesn't draw air down, that's a nice warm conditioned air from your house down into the subsoil space and outside. So yeah, for sure, if it's properly installed, that's certainly one of the aspects that we're considering. And it's also, you know, not an issue. The energy efficiency measures are going on all across Canada, and they're not bad measures. It's just another thing that we want people to be aware of, that in considering tightening up their home, that they also want to, you know, think about the air quality of it. And so there is a solution. There's an additive measure that we can do just to make sure the air is safe.
It's one thing to, you know, put in these mitigation measures at home, at your home, and get the testing done and all that. But what if your workplace or your school happens to test positive for radon, or you don't know and you want to know? How can you take action?
Yep, certainly. And that is one of the things that we're trying to build awareness with, and we are really thankful that the Newfoundland and Labrador have addressed their school issues and have tested their school buildings and are reducing levels. So that will protect both the staff and the students in those buildings. And other workplaces also do need to be tested. And so if you're concerned about your workspace, then you should be talking to your building owner or your maintenance staff about testing. We do have protocols in place to guide, you know, how to test and where to test and all that. And then we also do have measures to reduce radon in large buildings.
What's involved in testing?
Well, the tests are really simple. They're a little passive detector, so depending on, some of them look like a little puck or a little pill bottle, and they sit in place for 3 months and then get shipped back to a lab. So it's very simple. It's a process that we know works and is effective and accurate. We recommend that people test for a long term because the levels can change and fluctuate. And so the tests are for a minimum of 91 days. And the little detectors, they have like a little piece of plastic inside them that keeps track of the marks or the decay of radon, and the lab can provide you with an average of what the radon level was during the time that you had the detector in place. So it's really a simple system, and it is very accurate. And when you do put the detectors in, it's important to put them in a location of air that you're breathing. So if we're thinking about your home, you most likely would want to test, you know, a home office or a bedroom or a family room. And if you're thinking about a school or a workplace, there too, you're going to want to look at places where there are people spending 4 hours a day or more and test in those areas. And then, you know, when you look within the room, you want to test where people are breathing the air. So, you know, put it on a shelf close to where the airspace is that you're breathing.
Should you have more than one, depending on the size of your home or your workplace?
So in a home, most likely one detector is going to be enough. There are some additional considerations for, you know, large homes, or maybe if you've renovated and have different heating systems or zones that might be different. But most homes are going to be tested with one detector. In a large building or a school, there is guidance for multiple detectors, and so each room that has contact with the ground should be tested, and because there can be fluctuations from room to room depending on the building.
Is there a significant cost involved in this?
The detectors are on average about $50 or $60 per, you know, if you're purchasing one detector, and that includes the lab analysis and the shipping. And then obviously for, you know, a large building, you can get them in bulk, so they're going to be, you know, lower than that per unit.
And what about the cost of remediation if you need it?
So we have done research with Take Action on Radon group. We have this radon reduction sweepstakes where we provide $1,000 prizes regionally for people who have mitigated. And we've been able to gather some data across the country on the costs of mitigation. And on average, it's about $2,700. So we do see it, you know, regionally a little bit different, and it can range from $1,500 up to $5,000, just depending on the housing stock.
So, you know, somewhat cost prohibitive for anybody who is mildly curious about whether or not they have radon in their home.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. It's, I mean, it's the cost of, you know, replacing your furnace or doing some other significant change to your home. It is nice to know and understand what the cost is because it gives you an idea to budget towards, but it is certainly a chunk of change for most of us to invest in our homes.
My guest today on Target is Pam Workington. She's the Executive Director of the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. This is Radon Action Month in Canada. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guest today is Pam Workington. She's the Executive Director of the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. Are there warning signs, Pam, that you might have increased levels of radon in your home?
Well, that's a great question. Because it's invisible, because you can't smell it, because you can't taste it, really there's no way that you know that you have it. And so that's why we're urging people to test for it. You really don't know that you've been exposed to it. The only link to the health risk is to lung cancer. So unfortunately, you don't know if you've been exposed to it until you have lung cancer. So that's really why we're encouraging people to test for radon.
How much exposure is considered dangerous?
So Health Canada's guideline is 200 becquerels per meter cubed. And so we do want everyone to reduce their exposure to below that. Ideally, you know, if we can reduce it to as low as possible, below 100 would be great. That will reduce the risk.
What if you find out, for instance, oh, my childhood home, tested positive for radon, but I haven't been living there in 25 years. Is it an extended exposure? Is it a shortened exposure or any exposure at all?
It is extended exposure, so your childhood home certainly would be a concern, and we do often get that question from people. You know, our recommendation is that they consider it as a health risk, just like, other things are potential, whether it's, genetics or you've been a past smoker, things like that, so that you talk with your doctors if you start having, you know, symptoms. Often they don't consider lung cancer if there has been no smoking history, but if you talk with them about the fact that you do have a past exposure to radon, this just provides, you know, additional information to your healthcare professional to help with better diagnoses.
Are there any statistics on the negative health impacts to Canadians because of radon exposure?
We certainly are seeing that radon exposure is the number one risk for Canadians for non-smokers and additional risk for smokers. So Health Canada estimates 3,000 Canadians a year are dying of lung cancer from radon.
Can you tell when that lung cancer is directly linked to radon, or is it the best guess because this person doesn't have a history of smoking or whatever the case may be?
Right. So we know from studies and from research the risk, and in an individual case, you're right, there is no link like asbestos where we do have a specific lung cancer connected to it. So often the connection really is done through investigation of past exposures. We've come up with those statistics based on the research where they did do residential case studies by looking back at people's histories who have had lung cancer.
I see in a news release that was sent out earlier this week that a gentleman who was recently diagnosed with lung cancer linked to radon exposure, he says radon is a bit like COVID-19.
Yeah, that's right. You don't really know if you're being exposed to it except for testing.
Sorry, you sound like you were about to finish another thought.
Yeah, well, and so really Pierre's story is a powerful story. He was diagnosed earlier this year with lung cancer. He's a non-smoker. He had no idea about radon, but the day that he was diagnosed with lung cancer, he actually came home and saw a story on the news about radon, and that's when he realized that this was probably his risk. And so then he quickly tested his home and realized that he had levels of about 400 becquerels, which, as I mentioned, is twice what the Health Canada guideline is. And he took action pretty quickly to reduce it. And then now he's very keen on telling others to test their home and prevent their exposure so that they don't find themselves in a similar situation to him.
You say testing for radon should be as automatic as installing a smoke detector.
Yeah, certainly. There's, you know, things that we do every day to protect ourselves from hazards we know around us. And so we buckle our seatbelts, we install smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. And testing for radon should be one of those things. It's a preventative measure. It's proven and effective. And it really can help, with our long-term health.
How did you become involved with the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists?
Well, my story goes back a number of years to before KARST existed. I worked with my father, who was a radiation protection specialist, and knew that radon was an issue. And so we started a business to help homeowners with testing and to build awareness. And it was pretty apparent at that point that there was no organizations in the country to help raise awareness on this and work together. So I was one of the founding members and actually the founding president of the association, and then eventually moved out of the business and started a job to work with the association and start building more and more awareness.
Are there any concerns because of, the cost of remediation, let's say, for instance, if somebody gets the test, they test their home for radon, it's showing elevated becquerel levels, and all of a sudden you realize, it's time for me to move. does that present some difficulties?
It does, yeah. It's certainly a concern for me because I would like to see this be more accessible and keep people safe from all economic levels. And so, I mean, there's a few things that we have done to try and assist with that. So you mentioned research earlier. We have been researching different techniques. There are, different things that people can do with sealing and that sort of thing. Unfortunately, it's, only a little bit of a reduction, so only a small percentage of reduction. And so because we know that this mitigation system is the most effective, we've been looking into ways that we can help with grants or subsidies, trying to encourage the government to, extend whatever current programs are available for homeowners and add radon mitigation to it as well.
As I said off the top of the show, we had some recent testing here in schools in the province. A number of schools showed elevated levels. Some require immediate remediation. Others can wait for a little while, as they say. But what they were telling us at the time was that people living in the immediate surroundings of some of these schools were being notified by Health Canada to say, maybe you should get tested for radon. Should that be true of anybody? I mean, let's say, for instance, you live in the approximate vicinity of a school that didn't test positive for radon. Should you consider yourself safe or should you get that test anyway?
It's really important for everyone to test because we can't predict what the levels. So we know, the prevalence that there's probably more homes in a certain area that have higher levels, but we can't go, and take a look door to door and say, okay, this is, the 10 here that have it and all of this, these don't. So really the only way to test or to know is to test. So we certainly encourage everybody to test.
Does KARST have a advocacy role in, lobbying government for some programs that will help people, as you indicated earlier?
So currently, we've been taking the approach of working together with different government levels and providing information. We typically will work with local lung associations, and they will often do more of the lobbying side of things. We've tried to position ourselves to provide information and work together with resources and those sorts of things. And so we've been really able to provide a lot of information and work well that way instead of taking a lobby effort.
My guest today on Target is Pam Workington. She's the executive director of the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guest today is the Executive Director of the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. We're talking about radon. This is a radon awareness month or action month across Canada. And Pam Workington, is anyone in particular at greater risk than others? I'm thinking in terms of adults versus children or pets.
Yeah. So I would say all are at risk. We have seen some stories of pets that have been diagnosed with lung cancer. In fact, a couple where both the owners and the pets were diagnosed. And then children are not necessarily at higher risk, but the key really to reducing exposure is that we'd like to reduce the exposure for children because that will reduce their lifetime risk. So that's why, you know, the fact that the Newfoundland Labrador government has been testing schools in the area and making sure that they're protecting children really is key because that will reduce their exposure, their lifetime exposure risk.
When it comes to the amount of exposure you receive, is it in terms of months, years, decades? Where is that greatest risk?
Yeah. So it is in terms of years. Research is emerging on the amount of exposure, but it is an extended exposure. So Health Canada has guidance about reducing levels to below 200, and they talk about reducing your radon between 2 and 600 within 2 years and above 600 within 1 year. And that really is to give a context that it is a year-long exposure that provides that increased risk. And we're seeing the latency, so it takes a few years for lung cancer symptoms to actually start to appear. And we have actually seen them in as recent as 5 years, but typically it tends to be, 8 to 25 years before the symptoms appear.
So we've seen this testing in schools here, and I guess that's what leading to the immediate remediation versus remediation that can take a little time is the amount of radon accumulating in a given place.
Exactly, yeah. And so they have taken that seriously with the schools and put a plan in place. And so they've been testing the schools over, a two-year period. And then when they have got the results back from the tests, then they've, put together an action plan based on those levels on which schools they're going to address first and how to go about making sure that they reduce the levels appropriately.
Canada has a resource-heavy economy, of course, and lots of mines in Canada and mining that takes place there, including here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Do mines pose a risk as well?
They did at one time, and the really interesting story with Newfoundland and the mines is that we did get some research from them back years ago. So there was research that came out of the fluorspar mine, and that helped lead to the understanding that radon wasn't just in uranium mines. So originally, uranium mines were the focus of attention to reduce radon levels, but there was more research that came out, and so really it ultimately led to the fact that now mines are among the lowest risk for radon. So as we look at the concern for workers, the mining industry really has dealt well with it, and now it's, the rest of us Canadians that need to address it in our own homes.
So schools in this province have been tested. Have there been any other programs in this province?
We have, with the Take Action on Radon, we have a program called the 100 Test Kit Challenge. We work with small communities to provide 100 tests for free so that they can distribute them to their residents. The idea of the program is to help a community increase the data points. So really we have done surveys across the country, but really it's still very few people are testing. So this provides the community to get a number of tests in their area. It also gives an opportunity for, awareness as people start talking about it together and the fact that they're, testing, more homes are being tested, so they're not in this alone. And so in Newfoundland, a couple of years ago, we worked with Wabana and provided them with 100 test kits. And this year, again, we're working in Mount Pearl and Stephenville. And so all three communities have distributed the 100 tests in their community.
You've mentioned it several times now, but I'm remiss if I don't ask you, what is Take Action on Radon?
Take Action on Radon is a national initiative to build awareness on radon. So it's funded by Health Canada, and it's got a steering committee of CARST, as well as the Canadian Cancer Society and CAREX, which is a cancer research group out of Simon Fraser University. And so Health Canada recognized that there needed to be more awareness across the country. And so Take Action on Radon is an initiative that is meant to work with various stakeholders to help different groups assess how they could communicate with their interest groups or their community about radon and try and get information out that way.
I noticed I received a flyer in the mail not too long ago, or in my mailbox anyway, from Health Canada about the risks of radon. Is this part of that initiative?
So the flyer was distributed by Health Canada, and they used the Take Action on Radon website to direct people and help people gather information from it. And so that was an initiative that they've done over the last couple of years. And they focused the flyer at homeowners in the postal codes where they recognized from their Cross Canada survey that there was a higher prevalence of those homes that would have radon, high radon in them.
Oh, good to know. So where do you get your test kits then? Can you just dart on down to your local hardware store, or do you have to order them online? How does that work?
There are some hardware stores that are stocking them, but unfortunately, they've been hard to find. So we do have a list online of retailers that you can purchase them from online. And so on the Take Action on Radon website, if you go to test, you can buy a test kit and easily find a company that you can purchase from either online, or you can give them a call and order it over the phone.
So how seriously should people be taking this?
I think they should take it pretty seriously. You asked me previously just about why or how I got involved in this, and really one of my motivations was talking with people like Pierre who got caught by surprise by diagnosis, and we've been talking about this phrase, if only I had known, and unfortunately that's a common conversation that I've had with either husbands who have lost their wives or who have just learned about a lung cancer diagnosis themselves. And they had no idea about radon. But really, radon is unique health impact in the fact that we have linked it concretely to lung cancer. So the research shows that there's a direct link between radon exposure and a lung cancer diagnosis. And we also know that we can prevent it. So that's the other unique thing about it, is that there is a way that we can test for it and a way that we can reduce it, which we don't have with a lot of our cancer exposures, unfortunately. It's something we really do urge all Canadians to take action on.
Are some kits better than others?
We do recommend, sometimes the hardware store kits will charge an additional lab fee. From a price perspective, you do want to check that out. The ones that are listed on the Take Action on Radon website include the lab fee. But we recommend testing for long-term, so look for an AlphaTrack detector or an EPIRM detector. Those are ones that are recommended by our national certification program. They've been vetted, and they've got a quality assurance plan that homeowners can trust.
I just had someone tweet at me. They just sent me a picture. Just bought a kit while listening to this scary stuff. Should people be scared?
Well, we want people to take it seriously. So I'm not a fan of scaring people, and I try not to take that approach. But I do want people to take it seriously and make sure that they put it into a priority for their, they're on their to-do list. So that's really great news. That's super exciting to hear that somebody has done that. We do want people to test. It's an easy thing they can do, and now is the right time to test. So we do find that levels throughout the winter tend to be higher, both because we, keep our windows closed during the winter time, and we're, got our homes warmer than it is outside. And so it is a time when we are typically seeing levels higher than in the summer. So now is the time to do it. And so it's a good time to take action.
And where can people get more information?
They can go to the Take Action on Radon website and find more information there, or they can also email me at info@takeactiononradon.ca, or they can also find more information on our CARST website at carst.ca.
Any final thoughts? We have about 4 minutes left, but some of the main points that you want people to come away with.
Yep. So we do have a national certification program called the CNRPP, and it is a program of trained professionals that are a resource to help. So people can also go on that website and find information at cnrpp.ca. We have developed standards. So as we've been learning about it and finding out more information about different things, there are higher standards that have come out for new construction on best techniques for the radon control measures there, and then also standards for existing construction on reducing levels. So it is something, we do have a good body of research and a good body of information for. And so generally, I just really encourage people to recognize that it's something that they should consider, that they should take seriously and think about.
Is the construction industry on board? Are they aware of what needs to be considered when building and the risks of radon?
Yeah, I certainly think that there is still more room for awareness within the construction industry. There are measures in the building code that have been included. So in certain regions in Newfoundland and Labrador, there are measures that need to be included. And that's, another thing that people can know about, that if their homes have been built since the building code was included, I think around 2014, they may have a little pipe in their home. We call it a rough-in, and that is not to fix the radon, but it's simply there as sort of a starting point. So there is this rough-in, it's a pipe off the floor of their basement that should be capped and properly labeled, and it really is there for them if they test to be able to then extend the pipe and vent it outside. So having that measure in the building code has helped increase awareness about builders, but it was just January this year that we had our standard released for new construction, and so that is something that we are trying to get more awareness out to builders, that there are specific things that they can do to improve the measures of controlling the radon to coming in.
So if you happen to have that rough in, does that reduce the cost if you need remediation?
That's the intent, and so that is another area where if the builder has installed it properly and it's usable and it's in a good location, ideally then it would reduce the cost. It reduces slightly. It actually, more importantly, makes the system more effective, so that it could, once it's installed, the fan that's used is a smaller fan and then has a lower lifetime energy use. So ideally that's the key if the rough-in has been properly installed.
And if you don't have that rough-in, is it a big tear-up?
It's actually not that hard to install the mitigation system in an existing home. It involves coring a 4-inch hole through the concrete floor and doing some small tests around the foundation. It is something that is simple to once it's installed and can be installed within a day.
Pam Workington, a real eye-opener this afternoon. I thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, Linda, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That's Pam Workington. She's the Executive Director of the Canadian Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists. This is Radon Action Month, and she's encouraging people to take action on radon. We'll be back on Monday at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for that, and thanks for listening.
Local News Now, a VOCM News Update.
This news presented by the VOCM Cares Foundation, supporting charities in Ukraine.